Calvinism, which has crept into Bible-believing churches and so forth. So today, let's focus on this eighth one, which is what's next in God's eschatological calendar. And that's just a fancy word for what's in the future. So we looked at the King James. We looked at music. Here we go. Roy went to all that trouble to fix that for me, and then I moved it. Sorry, Roy. Are you okay to fix it for me again? Or so, you know, I've had a lot of people say, well, does it really matter when the rapture is going to happen or if there is a rapture? Let's just be pragmatic about it. But the reason we can't be pragmatic about it is because the only way you can teach otherwise is to then teach that the promises of God to Israel are not true. And that's big, isn't it? And that leads you into what's called replacement or covenant theology, where this teaching is actually becoming very prevalent, that God is finished with Israel and he's now replaced Israel with the church. And that might sound innocent enough, but it's huge. You basically have to take, I don't know, hundreds of promises and prophecies in the Old Testament and just put a red line through them. And you can't do that. That's not rightly dividing the word of truth. So we can't be pragmatic about this because it is a dispensational thing, as we will see. So thank you, Brother Roy. So let's talk about it. It says there in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to what? Rightly divide the word of truth. That means we need to be careful who it's written to and why. And if it's written to some other dispensational group, it's not ours, it's someone else's. And that's what happens when you start saying, I'm non-dispensational, which is a load of rubbish. Everybody's at least somewhat dispensational, or they would be sacrificing animals still, right? And then if you say that, that's an excuse to then say, well, the church now supplants Israel. So you can't do that. 1 Corinthians 10:32. I have somebody read that for me. James, go ahead.
Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God.
It's a beautiful verse, because in this verse, not only are we told not to give offense, but we're given the three dispensational groups in the Bible. There's only ever been there was only two up until the church age, because the church age was a mystery. Now there are three. Pardon me. And that third one is the church. The church, as we know, the Old Testament prophets didn't see it, didn't know about it. But now it is a new dispensational group. And to say that Israel's been replaced by the church is very dangerous teaching. And so what we're going to find, this teaching about the rapture not being before the tribulation is actually relatively new. But the entire teaching in the kingdom, in the Old Testament, is that God is going to give Israel a kingdom. Amen? And that the king will be the Lord Jesus Christ. This king, if somebody could read 2 Timothy 4:1, oh, it's already there. I charge thee therefore before God of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Right there's the order. The appearing and the kingdom. So Jesus will appear on the earth prior to him setting up his kingdom. But when does that happen? Well, it happens, as we'll see, at the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus returns, finishes the final war, and then judges the groups and sets up his kingdom as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's pray, and then we'll understand this further. Lord, thank you for your word, the privilege to study it together. I pray you'd guide us in your truth today, and we would learn things that would help us, Lord, in our understanding of prophecy, of the dispensations, and Lord, what's to come. And may we be looking for you. Thank you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so there's three primary reasons. There's others, but there's three primary reasons why the church cannot go into the tribulation period. And the first one I already alluded to is that the tribulation is Jewish. It is a Jewish dispensation. A dispensation, God never changes, but his dealings with man does change in different times, doesn't it? I mean, before man had the law, things were different. After man had the law, things were different. After Jesus died on the cross, we would all agree things were different. Amen? And that sets up a new time period where God deals with man differently. The word dispensation, by the way, is in the Bible multiple times. But this dispensation is a Jewish dispensation. So, Mr. Scott, if you could read Jeremiah 36 and 7 for us.
Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth prevail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it.
So there are many scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about the coming tribulation period. But this one specifically tells us it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Amen? You and I are not part of Jacob. We are the church. We are not Jews. So the dispensation of the tribulation period is Jewish. Now in Revelation, by the way, the tribulation period takes up a bigger portion of Revelation than any other thing. It's from chapter 6 all the way through chapter 18 of Revelation is the tribulation period. And right in the middle of those chapters is chapter 12, which is kind of a summary chapter. Yeah, all the others are chronological, but then chapter 12 is given as like a summary chapter. And in that chapter, we won't read the whole chapter, but maybe we can point some things out. In that chapter, we find that this tribulation period is all about a woman. Let's go there, Revelation chapter 12. And let's look at the descriptions of this woman and see if we can clearly see that it's Jewish. So again, this is kind of a summary chapter, this chapter about the woman and the dragon. And so this woman, verse 1, it said she had a crown of 12 stars. Now, whenever you see the word 12, it's always a clue, right? There were 12 tribes. So that's easy. She travailed with a child. And then there was a red dragon. Well, we all know who the dragon is. We've had him described as a dragon before. That's the devil. And he took out the third part of the stars of heaven. This is when the devil took a third of the angels. And this, verse 5, she brought a man-child. But who is this man-child? He's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. So who does the man-child have to be but Jesus Christ? Amen? And she fled into the wilderness, and God protected her, if you read on through. But even we're given the 1,203 score days, which is one half of the seven-year tribulation period. Then we have the war with Michael and the dragon and his angels. But this dragon, at the same time, is cast out of heaven. So we all know from the book of Job that the devil up to that point has had access to heaven. But during the tribulation period, his access is cut off. He loses his access card. That's it. No more heaven for the devil. And he's very angry about it. And he takes it out on this woman, which has to be Israel. So, we just looked at a couple of verses. You can read the chapter sometime on your own. But the number one reason why the church can't go into the tribulation period is because it's Jewish. if the church goes in the tribulation period, then you got God dealing with the Jews, but he's brought the church in too. Now, the second reason is it's a time of wrath, the tribulation period. Now, we all know this, right? You only just have to read a few of the scriptures to see that the tribulation is a wrathful time. And I've given some examples there of some scriptures where God describes the tribulation period. Can you just read that section there, Cash? I can't see it from here.
Destruction in Joel 1:15. It's terrible, Joel 2:11. Wrath, fierce anger in Isaiah 39. Wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, gloominess in Zephaniah 1:15. Vengeance in Jeremiah 46:10. Jesus said that tribulation would be worse than anything on the earth since the beginning of the world.
Amen. Let's look at that verse, Matthew 24:21. Howard, if you could read that for us. The tribulation period is a time of wrath, no question. These are the words that God used to describe it. I kind of summarized some of the descriptions from Revelation in that upper paragraph there. Famine, wormwood, locust. Boils, heat, darkness, all of these things happen during the tribulation period. Howard, could you read that verse for us?
For then shall be great tribulation, such as not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be.
Now, I ask you, in the 6,000 years of human history, have there been some terrible times?
Yes, there have been.
There's been world wars, there's been plagues. The Dark Ages. There's been some really horrible times, but Jesus says that the tribulation will be worse than all of those. It'll be the worst time in human history ever. It's a time of wrath. Wrath being poured out as punishment upon his chosen people, Israel, for rejecting him, rejecting his laws. So why would the church be there? We're told here in the scriptures that the church will be delivered from wrath multiple times. This verse here, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed us to wrath. And then Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Remember, Revelations 2 and 3 are letters to the churches. He says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. So the church has been promised deliverance from wrath, and yet the tribulation period is a time of horrible wrath, God pouring out his wrath upon the earth. So that's the second reason why the church can't be there. And just to drive the point home, I didn't put this in there, but if the church goes into the tribulation period, the church is the body of Christ. Amen? We all know this. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and from Ephesians 5. So if the church goes into the tribulation period, then God is now pouring out his wrath upon the body of Christ, which is Jesus. But that's already done at Calvary. Amen? God's not going to pour out his wrath upon his son again. But that's exactly what would be happening if God poured out his wrath upon the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, which are one and the same. So thoughts or questions up to this point? We're not even looking at the rapture passages in 1 Corinthians 15 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're just looking at scriptural reasons why the church can't go in. And number one, it's Jewish. And number two, it's a time of wrath. We aren't Jews, and we've been delivered from wrath. So thoughts or questions? Brother Mark?
Why are there some churches, some groups believe in a mid-tribulation or a post-tribulation? What's the understanding of that?
Well, for independent Baptist churches, which it's kind of a new thing for this new movement. It's called the New Independent Baptist. They do believe in a mid-trib rapture. They got it from a Jewish Christian maybe 20 years ago. His name was Rosenthal. He was kind of the first to come up with this, maybe 30 years ago. He calls it the pre-wrath rapture of the church. And so the argument that they give is that only the second half of the tribulation period is actually wrath, not the first half. Which, I don't know, if you've ever read Revelation 6, 7, and 8, that's the first half, and that's pretty wrathful. But anyway, that's their argument, is it's not wrath until the second half when it gets worse. And then the other argument is the same group, they do believe in replacement theology. So they've basically gotten themselves out from under these two arguments by saying, first of all, it's not wrath until the second half, and second of all, God is done with Israel and the church replaces them. And they believe both of those doctrines. And that's why I said you just can't be laid back about this, because to believe that the church goes in, you have to also then believe other things that are not doctrinally accurate. And that's pretty big when you start teaching that God's done with Israel. What about all those unconditional promises he made to them in the Old Testament about their land and about their kingdom? So that's part of it. Now, prior to that, honestly, it's just ignorance. If you talk to the average Christian who attends like a charismatic church, they don't have a clue about end times or rightly dividing the word of truth. They don't study their Bibles, and they'll read a passage and they'll just stick it in the wrong place. Matthew 24 is the worst one, isn't it? How many people use Matthew 24 to talk about Jesus as coming soon? But Matthew 24 is talking about the tribulation period, about the wars and the famines and the rumors of wars. But people take that and stick it into the church age and say, oh, well, there was a war, there was a famine, Jesus is coming soon. But which will lead us to our third argument, which is imminency. But it's mostly ignorance. Yes, Mark.
Nothing else in the book that explains that, does it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's why those two have to go hand in hand. Yeah. That undoes the Jewish part. So our third argument is imminency. And for me, this one's big, and I hope it is for you too. Now, for 2,000 years, the church has been told to be watching for who? Jesus. Amen? We're to be watching for Jesus. We've been told this over and over again in the scriptures. Over 300 times in the New Testament alone, the second coming of Christ is mentioned. This completely gets undone if you believe that the church goes into the tribulation period. It means that basically we've been lied to for 2,000 years by God, that we weren't to watch for Jesus. We were actually to watch for the Antichrist. Because the Bible lays out the tribulation period very detailed, even how long it will be, to the number of days. We know it's 7 years long, which means if the church goes in the tribulation period, we've already got our map. Amen? We can just open up Revelation and say, okay, well, this is what's next. This is what's next. This is coming next. And when the devil sits in the temple in Jerusalem, we'll say, okay, we're halfway through. So in 3.5 years, Jesus is coming back. Well, there wasn't any imminency then, was there? In other words, the fact that Jesus could come at any moment, that goes out the window. It means we should have actually been watching for the Antichrist to sit in the temple, like was prophesied in the book of Daniel, rather than to be watching for Christ. If the church is going into the tribulation period. So, let's look at some of these scriptures and just be reminded. Where's my reader? Roy, could you read 1 Corinthians 1:7 for us?
So then he come behind in no gift, ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark, could you read Philippians 3:20?
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
We look for the Savior. Amen? And Brandon, could you read Colossians 3:4?
Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory.
Amen. And then 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Brad, could you read that?
And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Amen. Nathan, are you okay to read 1 Timothy 6:14? Kelvin, Titus 2:13.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Any other volunteers over there? On that side? So, Mr. Scott, James 5:8.
Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Amen. Howard, 1 John 2:28.
Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Amen. And then James, 1 John 3:23.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment.
Okay, so that's a wrong reference. Anyway, this was just a sampling of scriptures. All of them telling the church to what? Watch and wait and expect Jesus. Amen? And you probably noticed that most of these scriptures are from what we would call the church epistles. And can you think of one verse in the church epistles that warned the church to be ready for the tribulation period? Watch out for the tribulation. Look out for the Antichrist. But we can come up with a lot of scriptures that say, look for Jesus. Amen? And again, that's why I use the word imminency, because it's been imminent. Paul actually believed that Christ would come back before he died. And that, and rightly so. We've been told to expect that and believe it. It's part of our Christian walk to believe that at any moment Jesus could return. Has God chosen to wait 2,000 years? Yes. And we're all thankful for that, or we wouldn't be here. Amen? But never does he tell the church, watch out for the tribulation period. It's coming. Get ready for it. No. Matter of fact, when you think about Revelation in its chronology, in chapters 2 and 3, you have the letters to the churches. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, come up hither. And then, no mention of the church. Until the very end, where the church and the bride say, come, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The church isn't even mentioned in all those chapters about the tribulation period. No mention of the church at all. Why is that? Because in chapters 4 and 5, you see the 24 elders in heaven worshiping God with their robes of righteousness, singing praises unto Jesus who saved them by his blood. This is prior to the tribulation starting. So God's chronology is very clear. Rapture, tribulation, return of Jesus to the earth, kingdom. God's laid it out for us. It's just undeniable. But these are the three primary reasons why the church cannot go in the tribulation period. We're not Jews. We've been saved from wrath. And we've been told to watch for Jesus, not to watch for the Antichrist. Now, there's some other reasons, and I just mentioned them in passing. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about the restrainer, holding back, which is the Holy Spirit. Remember, when the church leaves, as far as indwelling people, the Holy Spirit leaves too, doesn't he? Because he's in us. And since we all leave, he leaves with us in the sense of that way of being on the earth. And remember what Jesus said? And I don't know, maybe it's part of God's way of doing things. Jesus said, if I go not away, he will not come. In other words, even Jesus said, since I'm on the earth, the Holy Spirit can't come and indwell people. It can't happen until I leave the earth, which he did at the ascension in Acts chapter 1. And sure enough, in Acts chapter 2, what happened? The Holy Spirit came down. So what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to leave, and then the tribulation begins. Also, as I mentioned, the 24 elders in Revelation 4 and 5 have to be the church. It's not angels. These people have been redeemed by the blood, so it's definitely not angels. They have robes of righteousness. They're singing praises unto the Lamb. And just a little minor point, is the church commanded to obey the government? Yes? Everybody's with me? Many times, Romans 13, 1 Peter. All right. Does that mean that if the church goes into the tribulation period, we're supposed to obey the government? Which will be run by Satan? And will command you to take the mark of the beast, or you can't buy or sell? Think about it. We certainly won't want to obey that government, or we'll condemn our souls to hell, won't we, if we take the mark of the beast? But that's what the government will tell us to do, because the government will be run by the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet. So, just another minor point that says there's no way we can be there. All right, so thoughts or questions about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? Nobody? Those are our three reasons. It's Jewish, it's a time of wrath, and the imminency of the return of Jesus Christ. Did you notice I didn't even reference the 1 Corinthians 15 passage or the 1 Thessalonians 4 passage? We don't need those two passages to believe that the church has to be removed prior to the tribulation period. Now, thankfully, those are there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. The twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But we don't need those verses to prove the rapture. The church has to be taken out prior to this dispensation that's Jewish and a time of wrath. Any thoughts or questions? So don't let people say it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal. Yes, Tanya.
It's interesting because Jewish culture doesn't recognize a rapture at all. So obviously, as they even put the graves that are put where Jesus is supposed to come down, and so they want that spot because they know Jesus is coming to earth where they're laying their dead. So yeah, Jewish culture is all around him returning to the earth, whereas we're totally different. Really interesting to see that.
Amen. Anybody else? Thoughts or questions about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? So next week we move into number 9, which is Calvinism. Super destructive, dangerous set of teachings that does nothing but rip churches apart. And once it gets in, it never leaves. Calvinism's horrible, and we're going to understand Calvinism, why we have to avoid it. If anybody ever asks, how many points do you believe of Calvinism? Just tell them, I'm a zero-point Calvinist. Okay? There's 5 points to Calvinism, which we'll talk about next week, the tulip doctrines. If you're a Bible believer, you believe zero of them. Don't let someone try to convince you that you believe one or two. Doesn't work that way with Calvinism. And then we'll talk about Baptist bride doctrines and practices. Make sure we understand where that comes from and how sneaky and tricky they are and not telling you that they're writers when they are. We'll understand how that works. Any thoughts or questions?